You're listening to Practical Living on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. I'm your host for today, Dumisani Mfune. It's Sunday, the first day of the week. Tomorrow we begin another work week. We're going to help you wrap up your weekend and get ready for another exciting week. We've got lots for you today. We're going to learn how you can be truly healthy, what it means to be physically healthy. And then we're going to answer a very important question, what you must do to be saved. But before we do that, I want you to meet a very interesting friend of mine. Her name is Dollar Bill, and she's going to tell you her experience at the market in Ghana and what she learned. Coming up, we have Dollar Bill.
Recently, I attended a training workshop in the morning, having in mind it would end after 5 p.m. Ghanaian time. Luckily for me, it ended earlier. I grabbed this opportunity to rush to Makola Market, the biggest market in the capital town of Ghana, Accra, to buy a few foodstuffs home. At the market, I bargained for price reductions of almost everything I intended buying. I had hung my lady's handbag on my right shoulder and holding a polythene bag in my left hand to pack items I would purchase inside. After arriving at an agreed price for an item, I simply put my hand in my bag and fished out a note or two without really looking into the bag to pay for the item. I continued this way until I purchased almost everything I intended buying. Realizing that evening was fast approaching, I headed towards the lorry station intending to buy the remaining very few items from hawkers along the street to the lorry station. I was successful in getting the rest of items from them. When I reached the entrance of the station, I saw displayed plastic wares right there and I spotted a particular food warming container I had planned buying some long time ago. I went up to the seller and asked how much it would cost me to have it. 4,000 cedis, she said. By the way, that will be 50 cents. I asked for a reduction and she said I could have it for 3,500 cedis. Can I buy it at 3,000? I asked. Hey, I said 3,500 cedis. Didn't you hear me? She yelled. Not wasting much time, I dipped my hand into my bag, as usual, without looking into it, and brought out a 5,000 cedi note which I gave to her. While waiting for the change, it dawned on me to check how much money I had left in my bag, and lo and behold, I realized the 5,000 note I gave was the last one I had for my transfer fare back home. I immediately apologized and asked to be given back the money with an outstretched hand. Frowning, the lady slapped my palm with a note and said, "Are you thick in the head? Is your brain functioning properly? Why should you come and play around my wares? If you are a ghost bringing me bad luck, you better get lost before I lose my temper." Dumbfounded, I stood there watching her, lost with words. Then I asked, slightly raising my voice, "Oh, mammy," that is to say, mother in the Akan language in Ghana. I thought I apologized and explained why I had to take back the money. "Why then are you hailing these insults at me?" "Ah, who do you think you are that I cannot insult? You are nobody," she yelled. With a long face, I turned to leave thinking, simply because my handbag had gone temporarily hip-hip, that is, highly indebted poor bag, in a hip-hip country, I am nobody even to the wayside hawker. Probably, if I had driven in posh Opel Omega, bought the item, and asked her to keep the change, with a smile, she would have thanked me and thought to herself, what an important somebody this lady is. In this world, being somebody, I have realized, depends on your wealth, beauty, fame, education, eloquence, and what have you. But hey, in reality, you don't have to have all these before you become somebody. Take a stroll among ordinary pedestrians leaving behind whatever you have. No one will even look at you twice. Or stand in front of your full mirror right when you come out of your bathroom. What will you see? Nothing but your skin-covered skeleton and nobody. If a rich man dies, he is no different from a dead pauper. But wait, the good book, which is my good old Bible, says you were beautifully and wonderfully made. While you were still a sinner, you were saved from eternal death by God, sending his son to die for you without asking for it. This means you are already special and a big somebody. Work very hard towards becoming a bigger somebody when the history of this world comes to an end, and you won't need all those earthly riches. Do you want to know how to make this happen? Very simple. Go on your knees, close your eyes, and whisper a short request to God to show you how.
That was Dollar Bill giving us her experience at the market and the very important lesson that she learned. She advised us to pray. Do you want us to pray for you? Do you want us to pray with you? Or would you like to learn more about prayer? Write into us. Later on in the program, I'm going to give you the email and postal address that you can use. We will show you how to pray. We will pray for you. Write into us. But before I get to that address, let's talk about our health. Don't you want to be healthier? Do you know what it means to be healthy? Well, you want to stay tuned and listen to what's coming up next, because Don and Rochelle are going to explain to us what being healthy really means, and just going to take care of some of the misconceptions that are circulating about health. So stay tuned, because up next is Practical Health right here on Practical Living.
Hello and welcome again to Practical Health. I'm with Rochelle again.
Hi.
How are you doing, Rochelle?
Fine, thanks.
Have you had a great week?
Yes.
Mine has been quite challenging. Very physical.
Very physical.
Yes. That's good. Cycling up the hill every day.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's interesting that actually I'm speaking about the physical aspect, because that's what we hope to discuss today. You know, the composition of health as we defined it in the previous episode. But today we're hoping to draw more on the physical, just the physical aspects, you know, to really look at it and what it really means to be physically healthy, if I can put it that way. When I say physically healthy, I'm not isolating the physical health, but I'm just saying, you know, yeah, explore it in depth,
yes,
and yeah, take it from where we left off.
Well, among the questions that you can ask yourself to determine if you're physically healthy is, you can ask yourself, for instance, how susceptible am I to disease?
What does that mean? I'm going to be blonde right now.
hey, that's my part. I'm blonde, okay? Well, how easily do you get infections, or do you get the flu or so on? That can be a good indicator of how healthy you are. You know, some people just often tend to get more sick, like every winter they're just sick with the flu.
Okay.
Well, while other people just never get sick, they just seem to like, they never need to go to the doctor or anything.
Mm.
That can be a good indication of where is my health going physically? Where is it going?
Okay.
And,
well, that's interesting, hey, because I came to South Africa when I was still in Durban, I actually had flu like almost every year, twice a year or so. And ever since I came to Cape Town this year, I haven't had any flu whatsoever. And I'm still trying to figure out why. Obviously, Perhaps it's the exercise and, I don't know, more vitamins and stuff. But I suppose we'll discover that as we go
through. That's the beauty of a program like this, is as listeners can find answers to the questions that they've been, that have been bugging them, or you know, things that they haven't really thought of much. But then, you know, as we discuss these things, that they can see where their own problems are and can help themselves. Another question you can ask yourself is if your body weight is within the normal limits. Another question that you can ask yourself is if you have visual accuracy, which is just a nice way to say how well do you see. Do you have good vision, or are your is your vision starting to deteriorate?
So what can we say about Walter who wears glasses? Is there something wrong with his health? I'm just joking.
No, well, there are many reasons that you should for your degeneration of your sight. There is genetics behind it that cannot be denied. Okay, but what I think this rather refers to here is if you've had good sight, and then with age and you are finding your sight decreasing, the condition of your sight decreasing, and you're not being able to read what you know at the distance you used to read, and those kind of things, and that's a good indication of where your health is. If it is deteriorating, you know that you've got something that you need to work on, and if it's actually improving, you know you're in a healthy state.
Okay, that's interesting. You know, I've met a lot of people who struggle to complete like their daily tasks successfully. You know, like they get to a certain point during the day and they just can't continue. It's like the hours are kind of short for them. Does that have anything to do with the physical aspect of health?
Well, that would do you mean that they get tired easily?
Yeah, they get tired easily.
Yes.
Yes, that's what I was trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people find that their energy levels are not what they used to be 10 years ago or so. Because of the things that we do to our bodies, which we will discuss further on in the programs, can actually deplete our bodies of energy and steal the energy that could have been there for working, for studying, for doing what we want to do.
That's interesting. I was watching, you're going to laugh at this, but yeah, I was watching this program that someone sent me on Facebook. That there was this lady on Oprah. She's 104 years old, and she was at one of the universities in the United States. I think it's Loma Linda.
Yes,
and she was.
I watched that
too. She was working out.
She was doing a workout.
Yeah, and
within that same program, I watched it. There was a 95-year-old cardiologist, still a cardiac surgeon. He's still performing heart surgeries.
Wow.
And up and running.
Wow. That's interesting.
It's interesting. Within that program, they were discussing a book that somebody wrote about. The question was, why do people live? Some people live to be so long. And then this person who wrote the book went and explored certain groups that seemed to live generally longer than the average population, and went and asked and studied their lifestyle and what do they do that make them different. And among the group that was the groups that were found to live longer were Seventh-day Adventists. And then in that part of the 95-year-old surgeon and the 104-year-old lady, that was where they were looking at what Adventists do to make them live longer.
Okay, that's interesting. What other facets can we look at, you know, when we're discussing physical health?
Well, like you said, the level of endurance, if you can call it that, how long do you exhibit enough strength to complete all your daily tasks and so forth? Another obvious question which would come to mind is if you are abusing your body in any way, you will also shorten or inhibit your physical health. That could be by abusing alcohol and nicotine through smoking and using hard drugs. But even, you know, Don, there's this distinction that you can make between legal and illegal drugs. And I want to leave this for a later segment in the program because it's very important. But, you know, it's so common that we as the general public, would shun illegal drugs like marijuana or cocaine or all those bad things. But it's funny how we don't seem to think much about the legal drugs like caffeine and nicotine and tobacco and alcohol. We don't seem to think that that has too much of a bad influence on us. And we kind of rationalize the effect away, thinking that the diseases that these drugs cause are of some other source. And then we end up asking ourselves the question, why? Why am I sick? But you fail to see that you did this to your own self.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Can we speak about, I don't know if we spoke about how like fast your body heals, because I've noticed that there are a lot of people, you know, like when they get cut by wounds, like, you know, they just heal quickly and just quickly as we are about to close.
Well, that the amount of time you take to heal is a good indication of where your health is. If you take long to heal, it most probably means that you have a weakened immune system, because your immune system is what heals you up from the inside. And so if you have a low immune system or a weakened immune system, you won't heal up that quick.
Okay, thank you. That's all we have for the show today. In the next show, we'll be discussing, I think, what a lot of people will be interested in hearing about. That's emotional health, emotional health. Yes, I'll see you again in the next episode.
You're listening to Practical Living on Adventist World Radio. And that was Practical Health, brought to you by Dawn and Rochelle. Do you agree with what they said? Do you have any different views on what it means to be physically healthy? Why don't you share your views and concerns with us? Our email address is awr@sidmedia.org. That's awr@sidmedia.org. Or you can use regular post. Our postal address is Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. That's Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, and Somerset is spelled S-O-M-E-R-S-E-T, West, 7129, South Africa. Have you ever thought that there has to be more to life than what we experience? Have you ever felt that maybe you might be at risk of missing out on heaven? Well, if you have, then you definitely want to hear what's coming up next. On Practical Bible, we have Noxolo and Anthony, who are going to help us through a Bible study, and they're going to help us answer a very, very important question: what we must do to be saved. And their answers are going to come solely from the Bible. So make sure you have your Bible handy. If not, have some pen and paper handy so you can write down the text that they're going to give you and study on your own. So up next is Noxolo and Anthony with Practical Bible.
The question we are attempting to answer today is, what must I do to be saved? The human search for happiness, for peace, for satisfaction and fulfillment, for perfection, for change, for heroes and role models, for vindication and justice, for new beginnings, for answers and for enlightenment on life's path, are really just manifestations of the same thing. God made us, and when He made us, He built us with a void, a space that only He can fill. Whatever we are looking for that we think will complete us is really Him. Until we realize this, we will continue searching for another and yet another missing element. Until we realize that only in God can we find true rest, true peace, and true happiness, we will never find rest. This is the salvation Christians preach and God's word promises. And how do we obtain salvation? We cannot manufacture it. We can only accept it as God's initiative on our behalf.
Very true. And in God's word, we learn that the human race has sinned and must die. However, Christ has offered to die in our place. In Ezekiel 18 verse 4, we have this verse, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins will die."
So Romans 3 verse 9 and 10 continue and they say, "But what then? Are we better than they? No, not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one."
Further down in Romans 3 verse 23, we learn that "for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God."
And in chapter 5 verse 6, we learn that "for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." So although the human race has sinned and must die, Christ has died for the ungodly.
According to God's word, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot change our own nature. There is no other salvation but God. We learn from Jeremiah chapter 13 verse 23, the question that, "Can an Ethiopian change his skin or the leopards his spots? Then you also can do good who are accustomed to doing evil."
Acts 4 verse 12 continues and says, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." We must look to God for our salvation. By beholding, we become changed. We are changed into the image of that which we admire.
Very true. John 1 verse 29 says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
"Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." And this verse is found in Isaiah 45 verse 22.
2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit."
We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. But how do we get transformed? Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God."
Noxy, did you know that we serve a reasonable God, and one who forgives us and cleanses us as long as we are willing? We learn from Isaiah 1 verse 18, "Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool."
And David's cry in Psalm 51 verse 10 is, "Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me."
God's words further says, we must be born again in order to be saved. John 3:3 says, "Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God."
You know, we must believe in Christ in order to be saved. And like John 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life."
Acts 10:43, of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins.
Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, speaking of the Lord. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. You know, everything we've said thus far and all the verses that we've read points to one fact. We must believe in order to be saved. And what we're about to discuss further will tell you about what you must do after we've accepted salvation.
For those of you that have just joined us, you're listening to Practical Living on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. And we just heard a beautiful presentation from Nokolo and Anthony telling us what we must do to be saved. You know, I find it fascinating how God's Word, the Bible, has everything in black and white. It's there for us to read, for us to benefit from. If you want any more details on the topic that was discussed today, or if you want any more information on anything that was discussed today, write into us. Our mailing address is AWR PO Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. You can email us using awr@sidmedia.org. That's awr@sidmedia.org. Unfortunately, that's all the time I have for today. But remember, right here on Practical Living, we give you practical tips and practical advice that will help keep you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until next time, I've been your host, Dumisani Mfune, and God bless.